Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Staying Aligned podcast. We are joined today by a very exciting guest. Probably needs no introduction to those who are watching this on any sort of social media platform, but to those who do need to know, this is Dr. Alex Tubio. Doctor, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So, like, look, I don't want to make the intro to this any longer than it has to be, because I think your reputation probably speaks for itself to those who know who you are. But to those who don't, or maybe to those who just know the videos that are on social media, that are on YouTube, and sort of that brand of you, like, give me the elevator pitch. Like, I want to know how you got to be where you are now.
Yeah, so really just because of self-experience. I've had my own issues from before, had really severe lower back pain, and that back pain was just debilitating. Went to different doctors, different surgeons, and we went through this whole ring of treatments, and those ring of treatments led me nowhere.
Yeah.
But what it did lead me to is the profession that I'm in right now. So we tried different doctors, physical therapists, and not that there's anything wrong with those, it just wasn't working for me. And once we went to a chiropractor and he showed me x-rays and he showed me things that I should do, it just completely changed my life in more ways than one. So I don't have any back pain anymore. It's been 16 years. And now we are practicing chiropractic for the past, I think we've been open for 10 years now. Or I've been practicing for 10 years. We've been open for about 6-7 years now.
Awesome.
So it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah. So you started in Houston.
Yes.
How long have you were there for?
So we were in Houston for about 7 years.
Okay.
And then now we are in California. This is going on our third year.
Awesome.
Is where we're at, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And then I got to ask, I mean, how did the social media thing come to be? Because there's a lot of social media, chiropractor, how loud can I crack someone's back sort of content out there.
Yeah.
Yours is kind of a little different than that. And it seems like it's maybe better responded to than some of that content. Can you just... How did that happen?
Well, in all honesty, that's actually what the first few videos were supposed to be. They were just crack videos and stuff like that. But then we started to realize, like, people actually were hooking on not to just the cracks, but to the people's stories. And we would get people that would come in and say, you know, I really like this person's story. And it was only like a 20-second clip of it. And I was like, so you don't really care about the crack. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then it made me realize, like, when people were coming in before we even did social media, people were like, oh, I think you're good. My friend referred me to do this. I saw all the reviews and I go, what better way to see whether you like this person or not, this chiropractor, than to put videos out there?
Yeah.
And so we wanted to put ourselves out there and we wanted to show what we were showcasing. But then that turned even more where it wasn't just about us. It was about the patient that was coming in. And so we realized that the story that the people were watching was even more important than, you know, the stuff that we were saying during the actual treatment itself.
Right.
The fact that somebody could relate to that story was huge and gave people hope. And I think that's the key out of it, that once we gave people hope with the videos, that's where, like, okay, we have to make sure that we are really focusing on the patient. And I think in healthcare, that's really where it gets lost, is that we think about ourselves, we think about our titles, we think about, are you a doctor, are you not a doctor, should you treat this person? But it's all about the patient. And we made our social media very patient focused, and that's kind of how I think we took off, because it was just more organic, it was genuine. It wasn't like, come see me, come, like, this is me, like, I want to show you this of what I can do. It was never about that. It was more of, look, this person is having some of the same stuff that you're having, this is what a possibility of it can be.
And it sounds like that might have been, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, it sounds like that might have been sort of the philosophy from before that you were filming this stuff. It was like patient story focused, and like, what got you to this moment that you're sitting here in front of me telling me, you know, that I've got this back pain, maybe, and again, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but maybe inspired by your own personal story of, I tried everything. I did this. I did this. I tried these options there. You know, I was prescribed this. And then I finally found myself sitting in front of a chiropractor telling them that story. And it was like that moment that caused this big transformation. You get adjusted. You're like, oh my God. Right. So like those sorts of moments, but in the lives of your patients, that, you know, to sit there and take the extra time to hear that story, hear the journey that they've gone through that got them to this moment, they're sitting in front of you. Sometimes it's years long journey that got them there. And then give them that satisfaction of a good adjustment and good care. Like, that's, like, to me, when I watch the videos, that's what I'm connecting to, is like, this story is awesome, but it's also the like build up to the release, which is obviously got that parallel to the actual adjustment itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 100%. You know, I felt, and this is no shade to the people that ever treated me before, was that I felt that I was just kind of like a number. And, you know, when I would ask these doctors whether I should go to a chiropractor, whether I should go to a physical therapist, something like that, they'd be like, no, it's okay, just do this. Like, you don't need to see them, they're not going to do anything. Or, you know, they're just going to take your money. And, you know, I've had actual professionals tell me that. And I'm like, okay. And it kind of just rubbed me the wrong way, because in the whole aspect of a human body, there's so many things that you can just kind of do. And the fact that you, like a doctor, and this is for whether it's a chiropractor, a physical therapist, or just a doctor itself, like a medical doctor, if you only look at the fact, if you only think that you're the only person that could help this person, then you've lost the whole, really the whole focus behind why you became what you became.
Right.
And we're and really that's the narrative we're trying to change, is that we want it to be more patient focused. Be okay with referring to a physical therapist. Be okay with referring to a neurosurgeon. You know, even on the hard end of things with chiropractors is that they don't ever want to refer to anybody.
Yeah.
And on the hard end of doctors, they don't want to refer to anybody either.
Right.
But if we could ever come to this middle ground with everyone, I think that's really where more lives would be changed, and we would spend a lot less on healthcare, and we'd be a lot healthier and be happier with all the people around us.
I know that I say this a lot, but I really couldn't agree with that more. I don't want to say God complex. It's got a kind of an emotionally charged word, but it's this like, it's this feeling, and it's a good impulse that like, I can help this person, right? That's the impulse, which is pure and altruistic, but then like only I can help this person. Mm-hmm. And so there becomes this gatekeeping of like, it was like, why? And especially with chiropractic being sort of the quarterback of care, a lot of times in PI cases, we'll talk about that in a second. Like there's a lot you can do. And then there's a lot you can refer out to do, and you can create kind of a triage team of people all working toward the same goal. I'm like, well, isn't that better? Obviously, right? 2 minus, 3 minus, 4 minus better than one kind of thing.
Yeah, I think 100%, 100%.
So the reason we're really here, right? And like just to cut to the chase, because we only got 30 minutes, right? Is you and I started talking about PI, right? Because that's what I do. And that you were interested in sort of adding that or integrating some PI into the practice. I was, and I think most people who, if they know you at all, are going to go, why? Yeah. Why would you do that, right?
Sure.
PI is a landmine, right? There's lots of landmines. And I understand that. I mean, that's a lot of why this podcast exists, is to sort of highlight those landmines and try to steer chiropractors around them. But from the outside looking in, you might think, man, this guy's got two offices that are pretty successful. Little birdie told me it's hard to get an appointment around here.
Yeah.
It's like you're scheduling the next year.
Yeah,
like,
February.
That's nuts, right? Yeah. So like you're scheduling a year out, like you got the social media presence. Why would you then go, I know what I'll do. I want to integrate a bunch of PI BS. I want to fight with PI attorneys and deal with people who are just trying to make a quick buck and aren't really injured. Like why would you do that?
Yeah, for the simple fact that we want care to be better. You know, I think we've more oftentimes than not, we see people that come in and they've been through a PI case before. I mean, not even just like recently, it may have been like 10, 20 years ago, and that was their first exposure to chiropractic. And they're still not better. They had it all paid for. They're still not better. And now they're having to take it out of their own pocket to say, hey, can you help me?
Yeah.
And I hate that because, you know, we're not money, like that whole saying, money doesn't grow on trees. We're not always going to have this. And we have people that come in from all over the world saying the same exact thing. And a lot of it's like we have the wellness base of chiropractic, which is phenomenal. But we also have the fact that people are coming in pain. And a lot of those pain, they stem from car accidents, different motorcycle injuries.
Yeah.
And it's still not resolved 20, 30 years later. And now we're trying to help them. But I feel like if we were to get them fast, like sooner rather than later, and give them quality care, then we would be able to change the narrative of not just, oh, chiropractic actually works, but this person has now had a great life for the past 20. I mean, think about like the 20 years of not being able to do something all because a person couldn't adjust you well.
Right.
And, you know, I'll die on this horse that I think chiropractic has a bad reputation because we don't do what we were told that we were supposed to do or what we say we're supposed to do. We're supposed to adjust. But in whatever convoluted world now, it's because since we can't adjust and whatever research you want to throw at it, we've started to become, really more physical therapy like, which is cool. Go to physical therapy school, right? That might be a hot take. Probably get a little bit of hate on that. But, you know, as a chiropractor, I want to be known that I can adjust well. And if I can't, if the adjustments are getting to 80% or 70 or whatever percentage that we can get to,
yeah,
and it needs some extracurricular stuff like PT or whatnot, then we can refer out to do that as well also. Oh, but
this is music. Yeah. I love this. I hate to cut you off, but like no. I teach ethics. I teach chiropractic ethics, right? Because chiropractors need 2 hours continuing ed for ethics every year. And it's one of the things I like to teach. And one of the things I always talk about is like scope of practice, thing one. Like thing one in scope of practice is adjustments of the human musculoskeletal system. That is what separates chiropractic from everyone else, including physical therapists and massage therapists and neurosurgeons. I mean, that's really the thing, is the ability to adjust. Can you sell supplements? Yes. Can you put a hyperbaric chamber in your office? Yes. Can you do X-ray? Can you do? I mean, and I no shade on any of those things. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I've done the research. I don't know whether these things help or hurt. I do know that a lot of chiropractors suffer from what I call altruistic gullibility. They want so badly to help their patients that they will invest in the $60,000 gray box with a wand coming out of it, and you know, whichever one that happens to be right now, if it's got a light or a vibration or whatever it's doing, and they really, really want that thing to help their patient get better, and sometimes they do, and sometimes not so much, and sometimes the fad changes and it's something else. But if you can adjust, and if you can really focus on that skill and make it as really, really, really good, you're going to change the narrative. You can change people's lives. You can really change a life if, like you said, if you get into a car accident, you go to a chiropractor that really knows what they're doing, they don't have to go through 20 years of horrible time and then find someone who's good at adjusting like you to change their life. As great of a YouTube video as that makes, you'd rather they not have to go through that.
No, 1,000%. Like, I don't, if, and the whole ethics part, like, I don't want to see all these people with the same debilitating things and have the same stories and have this, like, Not that I don't really want to see, like, I love them, but I hate the fact that they have the same stories and that we've haven't done anything to change. And that's why we're also going on a seminar tour now where we're trying to help other chiropractors do certain things and really look at the body in a way that I might be looking at it and our clinic might be looking at it, because we want to change that narrative. And that's really what we're trying to do. And I think, and I just talked to one of my colleagues, and I think what's crazy for chiropractors, and this is like, you got to make me go on a tangent, but I think what's crazy about chiropractic is that we spend all this money on shockwaves or decompression machines or stim units or all these, like $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, but we never spent any money to invest in ourselves to adjust better. We still, a lot of chiropractors will still adjust the same way they did out of school. And albeit they're like, I'm a better adjuster than I was in school. Well, imagine if you went to other seminars that weren't business marketing type seminars to grow your practice and invest in your craft, how much better, not just money you'd have, but the results and the outcome of the patients,
right?
You know, for us, like, we invest a lot of time in other seminars. Like, I'm going to seminars right now, even with people that are in, like, the fourth quarter. Like, there's 12 quarters. I'm going with people that are freshmen.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing it because I want to learn. I want to know new things. And people have these different outlooks on how to adjust. And I feel that if chiropractors were to invest the same amount of money, if we literally, maybe a third of the money, into actually learning how to adjust better, into doing something that's going to make their body not just go crack, right? But to actually really understand, like, how does this joint move? Why does it move? Why are we adjusting this before this or this before this? The whole chiropractic profession would be a lot better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's get back to PI. So you want to integrate some PI into the practice. I love that. I think there's a lot of people out there who want to know more about how they can integrate PI into their practice. I think they have lots of wellness practices out there, which I think are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like you said, keep the lights on, keep payroll, you know, getting paid, people, you know, healthy lifestyles. But they want to integrate some more PI, and it's like, how do I get started in that? And they've heard a lot of horror stories.
Yeah.
Anything you remember from your first few years in practice of doing some PI that might speak to that?
I think, you know, you go back to the question that you asked even before. It was like, why would you even want to go into PI? Yeah, I've had a lot of like rough experience. Like, we haven't gotten paid out 6-7 months, close to a year. They want to, DACA's not even just like 60-70%, like I'm like 30%, but like 60-70% they want to take away from us.
Yeah.
And we rendered care. Some just want to pay us $500 for a whole treatment of like 20, and you're like, what? It's like, I don't even want to do this.
Right. Yeah, you're operating a free clinic at that point.
Yeah, you're operating a free clinic. And you know, that's a thing, and I think people have to understand, like, there is, sure, there's money, but it's like, I can't survive. Like, this clinic would never be open if we were only getting $300.
Right.
But there's been so many horror stories where, like, yeah, we don't get paid out. The person then just transfers, or we've been waiting for a full year, or the doctor's trying to tell me to do, like, we need more of this or we need more of that. And I'm like, wait, or the lawyer, I'm sorry, the lawyer's trying to tell us that we need more of this or more of this. And I'm like, wait, like, I thought I was the one.
I thought I was the doctor.
Yeah, I thought I was the one that was prescribing the plan. But I'm like, okay, but then you're kind of nervous because you're like, oh, I don't want to lose that lawyer either. And that's the whole ethics part. So in my mind, I was just, at the time, it was earlier, I was like, I don't want to do it because not only does it compromise the patient's health, but it compromises my value. So I was like very hesitant to do it. So for me to like take this jump is like, I don't really care. Like our wellness is doing so well that I'm just like, well, if the lawyer's like, and this is the whole, before I even met you, that's why I think you're great. But even before this whole thing, I was like, you know what, if they reduce the bill, for us, it's like we can still treat them and still be okay. But I would rather have that with someone that just doesn't have the amount of funds to do anything.
Right.
Right. But they have the, you know, the insurance money to do what they need to do.
What I think is kind of really awesome about the way you're going about this is that you're coming at this from a position of, I don't need this.
Yeah.
I want this. Mm-hmm. And so I can afford to be choosy about what lawyers I work with or what patients I take because it's more focused on getting the patient better. If I think I can add value to this patient's life by assisting in their PI case, great. But I'm not trying to operate a free clinic. I'm not interested in letting some lawyer decide where, you know, what treatment this patient's going to get. I'm not interested in, you know, some med pay mumbo jumbo where they're intercepting it and whatnot. I'm not doing any of that. And I get to say no, just flat out no. Right. And you're not worried about burning a source. One thing I think a lot of doctors need to sort of internalize is your services are worth X. They're worth what they're worth, right? And you get to decide what they're worth. But once you decide what they're worth, then that's what they're worth. And I know that sounds kind of tautological. That sounds stupid. But then if somebody comes at you and they says, oh, you should, you know, I see that here that you billed $4,500, but you should take $500. It's like, well, no, that's not what my services are worth. Right? I mean, I'm not saying there's never been a case in the history of the world where you would make an exception to that rule and say, okay, well, this is hardship because of whatever. But that should be the exception, not the rule. The rule should be, no, my services are worth X. Just like any wellness patient, like you wouldn't treat them 10 times and then them come to you and say, hey, I'm not going to pay the amount that we agreed upon. You'd be like, wait, why? Why wouldn't I get how much? You know, you wouldn't do that at your dry cleaner and say, well, you dry clean my shirt, but I don't think it's worth $8. I think it's only worth $4. Mm-hmm. They'd go, well, then I'm not going to give you your shirt back.
Right. You know,
like, it's like, but why are we, but we're okay with this in healthcare? Like you went to school for all those years and potentially went into debt to like learn how to do your craft and you're willing to take these reductions, you know, but that a dry cleaner wouldn't take, like seems insane to me. So the answer I always say to people is like, take back the power, decide what you're worth, and then decide that you're going to be choosy, right? You're going to be choosy with what attorneys you work with. You're allowed. You're allowed to say, I don't work with attorneys that I don't think are going to pay me, right? And you're allowed to say, if I can't get the attorney to talk to me on the phone, I'm not interested in working with them. You're allowed to say, if I can't get this attorney to sign my lien and send it back to me, I'm not going to work with them. It's your business. You're allowed to say these things. And I think a lot of chiropractors have no idea what they're allowed to say and not say in those instances.
Yeah, I think that's we don't, right? I mean, we're not coached in school. Nobody tells us. No, like, we're just kind of thrown in, like, most of us learn PI from another guy that did PI, and what we learn from them is exactly what you just said.
Right.
And so we have this preconceived notion like, okay, this is the relationship that it's supposed to be. And, you know, I've talked to my friends like, oh yeah, they're going to reduce it. And it's like such a normal thing.
Yeah.
And then I go, why would you like that? That makes, that's just as crazy to me. Like, why are you reducing it? And they're like, well, that's just kind of the way it works.
Right. And I hear that. I mean, just the last episode of the podcast, we had somebody who learned PI from the person that taught her.
Yeah.
Well, that person was running a mill, right? 90 patients a day.
Yeah.
You know, each patient 3 to 6 minutes of care. It's like, okay, well, if you learn PI that way, you're going to have a very different experience with PI. Mm-hmm. Even when she went out into private practice, she was like, I decided I didn't want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Good, great. I'm glad that you came to that conclusion. But now you've got essentially no foundation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what you were taught is wholly inconsistent with, at least for her,
yeah,
what she prioritized as patient care over, you know, over maximizing profit. And then, so she's like, well, what do I do now? Right. And yeah, then you're starting from scratch 3, 4, 5 years out into practice. And then what happens is you get these doctors that have a bad first dozen experiences, right? They get cut, you know, 80% or mm-hmm. on a bill, or somebody just stiffs them. They won't sign the lien or whatever. And then they just go, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to do PI anymore. I'm not interested. You have a PI case, go take it somewhere else. I'm essentially...
That was me, right?
But I get that. Like, I get that impulse. It totally makes sense to me. Why would you do that if you could not?
Right.
And just, you know, especially if you have enough, you know, clients coming in to keep the lights on, you're like, eh, you know what? Yeah, I could be making more money. And yeah, I could be helping patients that, you know, really, really need it, but it's not worth the hassle.
Sure.
It's like, oh, just learn to do it the right way. And if you had the proper foundation, it just seems like a waste to me.
Yeah. And I think to be honest with you, you're a rarity for us, like for in chiropractic perspectives. Cause with all the people that I've ever talked to with PI, with other colleagues, and there's been a lot of them, I've never heard the way that you've talked about it, which is refreshing, to be honest with you, because like, you know, everything that you're saying is everything that we're thinking, but we just don't agree with it or go with it. So either we leave or we get the short end of the stick, which most of us get the short end of the stick, and we go, okay, well, that's cool. Hey, I got 50% of it. That's what I was hoping for, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really nice of you to say. Really kind of you to say that. I grew up in the school of Sean Steele. Mm-hmm. You coming from Houston, you might not know who Sean is, but Sean invented sort of the idea of chiropractic attorney, chiropractic law firm, somebody who like starts from the premise that we're going to get this chiropractor paid, mm-hmm. and then works up the case from there. So that pervades case selection and strategy and sign up, not letting the cases, you know, get $20,000 in medical bills when there's only a $15,000 policy. Like it pervades the whole case. We're not the only game in town. And I don't want anyone to think that this is just a prolonged advertisement. Like yes, we do it that way, but there are other attorneys that do it that way. You just have to find them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like an auto mechanic. Like, yeah, there's bad ones out there, but when your car breaks, you still need a mechanic. So like, what do you do? Well, you can find a good one, an ethical one, and then go to them, mm-hmm. give them your business. Like that's the idea. And then things start slotting into place, right? They're not going to screw you when the case settles. They're not going to, you know, they're going to be communicative with you. They'll call you and say, hey, what do you think we should do now? The pain in their lower back hasn't resolved. It's been, you know, 3 months of treatment. What do you think is next? And you're like, hey, thanks for calling. I actually have been worried about that. I think it's probably time for a pain management doctor at this point. Hey, yeah, we were thinking the same thing. Do you know one that you like? Yeah, we do. Or no, we don't. Do you have a good one that you could suggest? Like that dialogue, which takes 90 seconds, super crucial to the like it going correctly, it going well. This goes back to that triage of like more minds are better.
Yeah, 1000%.
Lastly, I want to end with this. We got 5 minutes left and I want to end with this. How do you think we can integrate, you can integrate, but more for people listening, PI into a practice that sort of starts from the foundation of patient integrity, like integrity of treatment? Because it's so easy to slip into, just we're just here for the money. The more PI patients, because once you get a taste of PI, you realize it's very lucrative. Mm-hmm. It can be, and the patient outcomes are fantastic, or you hope they are if you're any good. And then you know you can slip down that slope, and you seem to be coming very much from the position of it is in your videos of integrity of care is the first thing that we care about. And I think a lot of the doctors, Dr. Hartz, who was on the podcast last week, same concept of, I care so much about my patients. I care so much about their story. I care so much about getting them back to their activities of daily living. And that's like foundational. Mm-hmm. And there's the concern that, well, how do I keep that focus and stay true to that identity that sort of makes me and makes my clients, my patients want to come to me and move into this PI space that has sort of is ripe for abuse or for it to go that negative direction.
Sure. You know, I think even more so, it's like, it's a daily practice, right? It's not something that you can just do once and then think like, yeah, I'll be, my integrity is going to be great the whole time.
Right.
I think everything that you listen to, everything that you surround yourself with, the people that you surround yourself with, the podcast that you listen to, and you also remember your why, right? So there's, to quote a Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, said, the standard is the standard. And the standard for myself is that we'll never put money above the patient. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter what it is. We'll never put the money over the patient. We never put the videos over the patient. So in this clinic, it's always going to be the patient and then everything else. Even for my, you know, even for my dollar outcomes, I don't really take a look at it that much, right? I tell you, I see at the end of the month what I've collected. I see at the end of the year what I've collected. But it's very briefly because I just never want my mind to be convoluted by, oh, I can make more doing this, more. I can make more doing this. This whole thing about PI, I think, especially if someone's trying to start out with doing PI, is almost remember like why you ended up doing this, right? Why did you want to become a chiropractor? And everything, and I think at the most integral part, and for most people, they say we wanted to help people. We wanted to help people in a way that wasn't harming or damaging their body from the get-go. And so that's really where I think where students can take it, where brand new docs can take it, or even just seasoned docs, is why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Right? And what are you doing to make sure that your ethics and your morals and your spiritual life and your emotional life, like, what are you doing? Like, what are the steps that you're taking to make sure that they live in integrity and live in alignment with what, you know, you were meant to be on this earth?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where everything starts. And then I think once you can conceptualize that in your mind, like, I'm doing this for the patient, then the time goes out the window. Then the money kind of goes out the window. Then you can get into a zone and into a space that when you're with this patient, you're really with this patient. You're trying to be with that patient regardless.
Yeah. And keep checking in on that.
Yeah, and you keep, yeah. Like, it's a daily thing, right? A daily thing. And if it's not a daily thing, it got to be something that's reoccurring, right? Because once you find yourself thinking, yeah, I could get more money, I could do this, I could do this, you've lost the whole purpose already. And that should be the check mark for your mind saying, okay, I need to come back to where I needed to be.
I mean, chiropractic is not the only profession that needs that, right?
Yeah.
Attorneys need that same thing. And I think everybody knows, or at least the idea of an attorney that has not checked in on why they went to law school in the first mm-hmm. place, but it's the same concept with doctors, with lawyers, with mechanics, with a lot of people. It's like, are there ways we could maximize profits and make the service we're putting out less good? Probably in nearly every profession. And we mm-hmm. all know professions that have, or practitioners of professions that have done that.
Yeah.
Maximize profit and the service or the quality of the product starts going down to maximize that profit. And it's like, okay, but there is a way to do it with integrity.
Yeah.
The money, for those who I've seen just prioritize the integrity piece, seems to come.
Yeah.
It just seems to come for them because it attracts people. People are interested to follow, literally follow, and social media follow. Yeah. People who are dedicated to that, like, no, I'm interested in this. Like, I will take the extra time, or I will sacrifice the profit here to make sure that this outcome is what I want it to be. That's invaluable, and that's mm-hmm. that's reputational that you can't buy. You couldn't. Yeah. There's not a number of followers you could get that would ever take the place of when somebody says to their mom or best friend, "You got to go see this doctor. He's the real deal. He really cares." It's mm-hmm. like you couldn't pay for that.
Yeah, you know, there's in my mind, the service dictates the money, not the money dictates the service.
Right.
Right. So you're able to charge what you feel like you should be charged when you know that in your heart and in your ethical, moral sense, that what you're giving is worth it. And I think that's also another hurdle that some people have to overcome to realize like they're worth it again. But to not say, okay, so it's going to be $500 for this, but you get this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. So like, but what makes you different than everybody else then, right? Someone else could have the same thing. And then now they're like, okay, well, that means that I need more things to get more money. Right. And they're not really thinking about the patient. Like, what does the patient need to get better?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other thing that you talked about that I wanted to touch on is like, mm-hmm. why do chiropractors go to chiropractic college? You said, you know, most usually to help people is what they'll say. I have found personally, and I've met hundreds and hundreds of chiropractors, is that that's universally pretty true.
Yeah.
They mostly did. They didn't go for the social prestige or mm-hmm. for the making of millions of dollars, right?
Right.
I mean, there are other specialists in other fields that they go for complicated reasons. No doubt in part to help mm-hmm. people, but there's other reasons that people go into other specialties. But I find for chiropractors specifically, it's almost exclusively this purity, this I want to help people. PI is sort of, and again, I get all wound up about this, but like PI is that. Mm-hmm. It gives chiropractors the opportunity to take a patient who was probably fine or fine-ish yesterday. Now they've been in this accident and they're not fine. They are suffering. They are dealing with a marked decrease in their activities of daily living. They're not able to play with their kids or pursue their passions or go to work. Mm-hmm. And with just your hands, you could get them back to doing those things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's borderline miraculous if that if you could do that, right? And so to write that off or to not engage in PI practice is to shortchange the very reason why a lot of chiropractors went to chiropractic college in the first place.
Right.
So anyway, I find that to be really like a really, an interesting piece to like, look how, yes, lucrative, but fulfilling, rewarding, back to your purpose, to your why. That's kind of the why, I think, for a lot of chiropractors. And it's like, if you can put your finger on that and like make that a part of your practice, how much more fulfilling of a life will you live as a chiropractor knowing that you're doing that?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, it's such a big thing where there's really nothing that is comparable to really someone telling you, like, you changed my life. Like, you saved my life, right? And I think, you know, you've heard people say, oh, you saved my life before. And you just think of a surgeon and they prevented him from dying. But in reality, there are cases where, like, this person couldn't move. She couldn't walk. She couldn't even pick up, like, she couldn't sleep for more than 1 hour a day. She couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And now you're able to give her back this life that she thought otherwise was gone. And literally, that's a life-saving moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, like you were saying, that's a PI case. That was a motor vehicle accident or a slip or trip and fall or whatever. And, like, you know, if you could be that doctor that holds their hand through that process and gets them well, that much the better, right?
Yeah.
You are going to start lecturing. You're going to go on a tour.
Yeah, we are going to Atlanta. We're going to the Bay Area here. And then we're also going to go to Cleveland Chiropractic College, wherever that is.
Nice.
It's not in Cleveland.
No, it's not.
I think it's Kansas City, maybe. I don't know.
Tell whoever's listening where they can go and find you if they want to.
If you guys want to find me, you can. The easiest way is at Dr. Tubio on all social media platforms. So Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. You could also go on our Align Clinic. So our chiropractic clinic is called The Aligned Clinic. You know, if you believe in faith, maybe that's why we're talking.
Staying Aligned podcast, The Aligned Clinic. My name's Alex. Your name's Alex.
Yeah, hey.
You have 1.3 million followers. I have followers. We're practically the same person.
Pretty much, you know. We're both not white.
Yeah, that'll make the cut.
Yeah. So you can either do that or message us on the Align Clinic, the Instagram, sorry, or TikTok, or give us a call as well too, or email us too.
Yeah.
All the same handles.
But I'm saying if they want to come and see you, your live shows.
If they want to come see us, that's really kind of, we'll give all the postings and all the updates on Instagram, on TikTok and on Facebook. I don't know how many people look at websites as much anymore. So that's why we haven't really invested in one. But really all the social media platforms.
Awesome. Sure. Awesome. Well, Doc, thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. I hope we get to keep this conversation going in the future. We do a ton of lecturing ourselves. So maybe our advanced seminar in November, maybe we could convince you to come speak to the doctors in Anaheim.
That'd be great.
Awesome. Yeah. Doc, thanks so much.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me.